And then do you want to start your video sharing? Because the owl's not making that right now. Okay, thank you.
Ready, Sharon?
Not that I want to be on camera. Yeah.
Call to order. Roll call. Hans here. Wilma's absent. Stacy?
Here.
Jason?
Here.
And Randy X. Pledge of Allegiance? Want to pull one up or no?
No, I think they're all good.
Salute pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. And to the republic from which it stands, one nation, and God.
Item 3, approval of agenda. Do I have a motion?
I move to approve.
Second.
Stacy first, Jason second. All those in favor, we have to do a roll call still, right?
You do.
Sean is aye. Wilma absent. Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
And Randy absent. Okay. Oath of office. It's your turn, Sherry.
Okay. So we have Sean and Jason as our returning board members. So
do this at the same time?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Can you see it? So repeat after me. I do solemnly swear.
I do solemnly affirm. I, Jason Inger, do solemnly swear. Okay.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
That I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
Against all enemies, foreign and domestic.
That I will bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
That I'll bear true faith and allegiance to the Constitution of the United States.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
And the Constitution of the State of California.
That I take this obligation freely.
Take this obligation freely.
Without any mental reservation.
Without any mental reservation.
Or purpose of evasion
or purpose of evasion,
and that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties upon which I am about to enter.
The duties upon which I am about to enter.
Thank you. Welcome. Will you please, before we make sure we just sign that? Oh, appreciate it. Thank you. Welcome back.
Okay, election of officers.
So we need, I was hoping we could start with a slate of officers.
Are we going to put this off to Wilma's back?
Nope, I talked to Wilma.
Oh.
And Wilma said, I will do anything or nothing.
So what does that mean?
She's happy with being a member. She's happy with being the president, the vice president, the secretary treasurer. It was pretty much like, whatever you need me to be.
I want her to be, Sean. This is a good time for
I can't make a motion. I'm the president right now.
Oh,
it's either you or Stacy.
Do we need to make a motion to put the slate together or what do we need a motion for?
We need a motion.
I would be saying I move to elect or I nominate. And give us a slate.
Oh my goodness.
So, Stacy, are you still interested in being the secretary, clerk, treasurer?
Yeah, I'll still do that.
Okay.
I'll nominate myself to be secretary, treasurer.
I'll clerk. Second.
Are we doing a slate or are we doing individual?
Let's do a slate. Okay. And then I think that Sean was willing to take on president.
I am willing.
Do you want to include that, Stacy?
I would include Sean as president.
Okay.
And I think Jason should be vice president.
You good with that, Jason?
I am good with that.
Okay.
So go ahead and make a motion, Stacy.
I motion to accept the slate of, of Sean being president. J. Jason being vice president, and I would be the clerk.
We have a second.
I second.
Okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll do a roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma absent. Stacy?
Aye.
Ethan?
Aye.
Randy absent. Motion passes. Okay, consent agenda. Generally, with the consent agenda, you just do it in one big block. So, do I have a motion to approve?
I have a motion to approve.
Second. Any questions or discussion? Okay. We'll do roll call. Sean is aye. Wilma absent. Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy absent. Motion passes. Public comments not on the agenda. Nothing, Janice?
I'm on the agenda.
Okay, moving on. Board reports. Go ahead, Stacy, if you have anything.
Don't have a thing.
Jason?
Don't have anything.
Okay.
I am going to have something, and perhaps it is in line with what you might have.
Do you want to go first?
But I do notice that Bryce is here, and it's 5:50. Could we skip ahead? From EdTech presentation by EdTech.
Okay, yeah, we'll skip the reports. We'll go straight to item 8A. The floor is yours.
Thank you. Hey, Bryce.
Hi, Sherry. Hi, everyone. Let's see. Can I share my screen? I can. Great. Hi, everyone. My name is Bryce Fleming. I'm the Vice President of Client Management and School Finance at EdTech. Thanks for having me tonight. I'm excited to be here. I've had the opportunity to work a little bit with the school in the past. We helped with a financial feasibility report related to the USDA loan that you all received. And so that gave me a little bit of an opportunity to work with Sherry and learn a bit about the school and hopefully gave a little bit of a glimpse into who we are and what we do and the level of service that we can provide. But here to talk more about that tonight. I'm going to try to keep this relatively short. Also want to give you all an opportunity to ask questions. We can do Q&A at the end, but please jump in at any point if you have questions about anything that I'm talking about. Also left my email is in at the end of the presentation too. So if there's a question that pops into your mind after tonight, you can always follow up that way as well. So a little bit about EdTech. We've been supporting charter schools in California since 2001. Our vision is to have the greatest positive impact on public education by giving charter schools the information they need to make effective decisions. And so that's at the board level, the school leadership level, staff level. What we're really proud of is how many long-term partnerships we've developed over that time and that we've been able to maintain a 97% client retention rate. Our company focus, so let me skip ahead. Our company focus really starts with our staff. We spend a lot of time training and developing our staff to create the team that we have now. We pride ourselves on that no matter who you work with at EdTech, you're going to get the same level of service and support. And I think you'll hear that if you reach out to other clients, other schools that we work with. We've provided some references, just a few references to organizations that we think are similar to Long Valley, but all our clients are referenceable, and so we're happy to provide that that full list of our clients. So you can, I think that's a good way to get a feel for what it's like to work with us. We also pride ourselves on being thought leaders in the industry. We partner with CCSA, CSDC, YMC, and other charter support organizations throughout the year to provide trainings to both our clients and the broader school community. We just did a few presentations at the CSDC conference a couple months back, and I think we've got 7 or 8 presentations coming up at the CCSA conference in March. And then we do webinars throughout the year. Another thing that helps us with our service delivery is our low staff to client ratio. We understand how much work goes into doing all of this. And so we make sure that we staff our team at levels that allow them to provide the service and the amount of time that's needed to get the job done for your school. In our support, we strive to be not just proactive and highly responsive to our schools, but also provide strategic decision-making support We know that's where we can provide a lot of value, and we think that's what really separates us apart. That's also part of the job that we really enjoy doing. We love having these like big strategic conversations around whether it's facilities planning or multi-year budgeting or figuring out what to do with all this one-time funding that schools have been getting. We really love being, you know, that part of the decision-making process. We understand that the decisions always fall to the board, but we just want you all to have the best information possible going into making those decisions. We've worked with a lot of schools over the years, and we've seen a lot and learned a lot. And so, you know, we just love sharing best practices and sharing what we've learned and helping schools make the best decisions. Just a little bit about our approach and how we work with schools. We have a team approach where you're assigned a team of specialists. We're not trying to make, you know, we're not reliant on one person knowing everything about everything. It's a team of specialists. At the front is going to be your client manager. That person is going to serve as your outsourced CFO. So they're doing a lot of the budget and financial work and compliance work. They're also coordinating with the rest of the team. And so on that team, you have specialists in payroll, accounts payable, school data, and accounting. And then you, in addition, you have access to our entire senior team. Our senior team has a wide range of expertise on a lot of different topics and has over 130 years of charter school experience between the eight of us. So that's just a little bit about the model and how we work with the school. There's a lot of details in the full proposal about the about our services. I think the full thing that I think we provided was about 50 pages long, but just kind of wanted to highlight some of what I think are the key points. One is guidance and training for the school leader and staff. I mentioned some of the training opportunities we have. In addition to that, we provide a lot of specific training to schools on our processes and how the way things work. We've got a nice runway before you'd potentially start services on July 1, so we'd have plenty of training, plenty of time to get your staff all trained up, and then there's ongoing training as well if you ever have new staff members or ever just need a refresher on some of those processes. As I mentioned earlier, we're always trying to be proactive and forward-looking, and we've got tools like an annual compliance calendar to help keep the school informed on deadlines. We always want you to have the best information possible, so we're updating financials on a monthly basis and then collaborating with school leadership to make sure that we're giving the board updates on budget and cash flow and just keeping you up to date on everything that's going on in the charter school finance world. And then when we present financials, we're not just going to give you the numbers. We're going to provide analysis of what we're seeing, answer questions, and give recommendations as well. So in addition to access to the team that I detailed on the previous slide, you also have 24/7 access to to the school's financials through the EdTech School Portal. And what the EdTech School Portal is just a web-based accounting platform. It's what we're working in, and we also give the school view access to that as well. And so the portal, it's basically an accounting platform that is designed and configured specifically for California charter schools. So we've got a link to our compliance calendar, we've got charter school and CDE news feeds, and you can run all your financial reports in that portal anytime. And so you can run high-level reports like income statements and balance sheets. And you can also drill down into detail on specific invoices so you can see specific expenses and you can see whether a bill's been paid. All right, the pricing's pretty straightforward. It's a 2-year initial term and then 1-year renewal terms or longer terms if you like after the first initial 2 years. It's a fixed annual cost of $170,000 next year and then $175,000 in the following year. We typically charge a one-time conversion fee, but we're waiving that just because the previous work we've done with the school and the competence that we have in the school staff. We do provide optional CalPAD services. It sounds like you're all set on that for now, but if that was something that was you need in the future, we're happy to provide that down the road. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is that we process the payroll, but there's a third party provider that actually issues the checks And so that's, we use Paylocity. So they're the ones that issue the checks and W-2s. And so this is just an estimate of what that cost would be. All right. Does anyone have any questions about anything?
Stacey, anything on your end?
No. It sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and Bryce, as I mentioned, everyone has seen the proposal.
Okay.
I had a chance to read through that.
Okay. Great. Well, like I said, my email is here in the presentation. So if anyone has any questions that pop into your mind at a later time, I'm happy to chat or happy to respond over email, whatever is easiest.
Thank you, Bryce.
Okay. Thanks.
So if we could follow along at 6 is our scheduled time for our finance report from Genevieve, which I assume she is behind one of those boxes.
Let's roll. There she is.
Okay.
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone.
Hi, Genevieve.
Happy New Year, by the way. So we are here this evening to go over the latest financials that we have for you. And it will be covering the month of November. So I'm going to go ahead and share screen. Give me a moment. Can everyone see this?
Yeah.
Perfect. All right. So our monthly financials that we're going to be looking at tonight will be based on the completion of November. And November is 5 months through our year already. Can you believe that? And so the way we go over the financials, we look at the percentage of completion, if you will, for the number of months that have elapsed. So November represents 42% of your entire year. So that is how we do our comparisons. There is a brief narrative in the front that you can review on your own. We'll cover some of that as we go through the numbers. But here, as I mentioned, 42% is what we are expected to be completed as of November. And we talked about this last month, and the last board meeting, I should say, and you'll see numbers come to fruition. As we mentioned, revenues typically trail behind because of how payments are being made. So in the beginning of the year, you don't see as much of the revenues, and that's reflected also in your net profit, as you can see from your September reports compared to your November. But as the months go by, the revenues will start catching up, and you'll see that that's the case in the month of November. And your expenses, as we mentioned as well, is typically front-loaded for especially your supplies and your purchase services areas. Your payroll tends to be pretty static. So let's take a good look at that at the moment where we are for November, excuse me. So the next page will be your summary income statement. This is for both schools combined. And if you take a look at Long Valley specifically, you will notice that revenues are at 36% of what's to be expected to receive for this fiscal year. And your expenses are at 38%. So compared to where you should be at 42%, I would say that you're pretty much on track as to what we would expect to see at this point of the fiscal year. Likewise with Thompson Peak, it's fairly close to Long Valley, 35% of what's to be expected for the year in your revenues and 39% in your expenses. So good news, we're under budget technically at this point as to what we should be expecting at 42%. So overall, you are tracking along just fine. And the results here, because your revenues are catching up, you do see a positive bottom line for both schools, a net of $165,000 for Long Valley and a net of almost $22,000 for Thompson Peak, a grand total of $187,000 as we stand November 30. Just a few graphs here. And as we have typically done, we've also provided the detail for your income statement by specific categories, which I won't go over line by line, but it's there for you to look at, review, and you'll see where the numbers are in each of those categories identified. Long Valley, and find some people over here. And you'll see at the bottom the same percentages and the numbers that I have just gone over on the summaries. But obviously, this is in detail. So this translates yet again to very positive cash flow position and fund balance position for both schools. I just wanted to note that there's a slight typo in the number of days cash on hand, but it does not change the percentage as far as your fund balance, your cash flow side compared to your expenses. So here's Long Valley, healthy cash position as usual, 2.29 projected for the end of the year, million. And for Thompson Peak, we are looking at 1.7 million in your cash position by the end of the year projected. So that brings me to the end of our global overview for November. Any questions?
To go back one to the beginning of Long Valley, the beginning fund.
The summary?
You showed us the ending balance and I missed the beginning. Oh. The projected ending. It was one page up from where you were, towards the bottom.
Okay, right here, you mean? That's Thompson P. This one here.
Was the beginning balance 1.4?
1.5.
What's the ending projected?
2.2.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions?
Stacy, Jason, you guys have questions?
No.
Thank you, Genevieve.
You're very welcome.
I'm a budget, but I have no questions.
Can I want to make a note that Randy is here now. I see her in Portola. I marked down at 5:53. She joined the room.
Sounds good.
Okay. And so we're just almost to the 6:10 time. And I see Joanne is here from DMS. Okay to go ahead with that?
6:10, let's go.
Okay. Joanne, hi.
Good evening. Hello. Thanks for having me on tonight. Sherry and board members, I recognize some of you there. I'll begin by introducing myself a bit here. I'm Joanne Fountain, the CEO of DMS. You know, you've been with DMS since 2016 as your back office provider. I've been with DMS for about 4 years now. Prior to that, I was an executive director of a charter school. So I've really enjoyed coming on this side of the aspect of things. I would like to share my screen if I could.
It's always open.
All right. I just have a short presentation here. All right. So what I really want to go over is just a little bit more about who DMS is. You know our work. We've been presenting, Genevieve has presented, Sherry's been with us for a while, but I wanted to give you a little background of who DMS is as a whole. Our core values, DMS core values, we follow PACT, and that means we're a pack of wolves, sometimes we call ourselves that, but it stands for problem solving, accuracy, collaboration, and trust. And it's really our key values that we focus on internally and externally with our clients. Problem solving, there's always problems to be solved. There's always things to go over, whether it's internally, externally, together as our DMS group with the Long Valley group, and really problem solving issues that may come up and things that may that we need to talk about to solve and create better solutions together. It's been a great relationship with Long Valley to be able to do that. Accuracy, looking for efficiencies to improve processes and to ensure correctness, very important. One of our main core values. Collaboration, that's key. Building this relationship, this partnership with Long Valley, between DMS, Long Valley, and their members, extremely important. Being able to call each other, problem solve together, all of that takes collaboration. And of course, trust. Always trust. Key item, trust, knowing that we can collaborate, work together, problem solve to create the best partnership that we can together. And like I said, that's something that we concentrate on internally and externally with our clients. Employee ownership. You may not know, but we are employee owned since 2017. We're very proud of that. We have a lot of, what it means is that our employees really take to heart what happens at DMS. We have a lot of employees that have been there for years. And yes, recently we have had some transitions as well, and I'll talk about that in just a minute. But really, our employee owners are always striving to give our clients the best peace of mind, the best service that they can, because they are part of the business. They really have that buy-in to our business. So we're really proud of that aspect of our business. And I wanted to specifically go into your specific team that works with Long Valley. Our teams, how they are designed, you may already know this, so I apologize if I'm repeating myself, but you have an account payable specialist, a payroll retirement specialist, an assistant finance director, and a finance director. So four key people. And Shannon is your accounts payable specialist. She's been with your account since 2017, so right away when you guys came on board. She has a strong working relationship with Elle and with all of your vendors. She has a strong knowledge and understanding of your annual cycle for your school payments, filings, 1099s, use tax, all of those good things, public school exemptions, payroll liabilities. She is aware of all of that for your school. She's, like I said, she's been there since 2017. And that strong historical knowledge of not just your building and property purchase, but so much more is key to how Shannon is able to serve your school. And that leads us to your payroll and retirement specialist, who is Miss Jenna here. She's also been your specialist since 2017, knows all of your historical knowledge, which is extremely important, as I stated, strong working relationship with Elle. Some, we've developed some specific processes just for Long Valley throughout the years, such as deferred payout during holiday breaks, the SDI adjustments each payroll, that's something specific to your school. She has a strong relationship with the JPA for Affordable Care Act reporting as a self-insured agency. These are all different types of items. I'm sorry.
No. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're fine.
Okay, great. Wasn't sure if you were needing some questions or not. So anyway, some specific things that were developed for your payroll with Jenna that was specific towards your school. Invaluable historical knowledge for quick attention to last minute payroll changes and special requests, because we do have all in-house services. We do your payroll in-house. We do not have any third parties that we send things out to. So it's if there's a need to change on payroll, we're able to do that right away for you. And she also has a strong relationship with your county for retirement reporting. STRS, that's always complicated, always changing for all of that reporting. Very important. And that brings us to your DMS finance team. We've had some challenges in this area through the years, changing staffing on our side. Through the pandemic, through the great resignation, we did lose some of our steady finance directors, actually to other schools, a couple to our clients. We've lost another one to another passionate network out there, that she was really passionate about their mission, which I thought was incredible. So we've had some adjustments through there, some challenges, but we are set here now with Genevieve, who's been here for over 6 months now with Long Valley. She is supported by Debbie, who's our department head of the finance directors, who's been with us since 2019. We have a strong core group of finance directors that really work as a consortium to brainstorm, go over items, go over the new governor's budget that just came out this week, go over that and brainstorm what the best practices and best needs are for all of our schools. So Genevieve is well supported. And then we also have, this is our assistant finance director, Agnes Graves. She joined us a little over 2 months ago for Long Valley, and she's supported by Heather Crowley, who's our department head of the assistant finance directors. And Heather's been with us since 2013. So as you see, most of our employees have longevity. They've been here for a long time and should continue to be here for a long time, hopefully. So that's our goal there. Very strong support with the finance team. That leads us into I just wanted to share this part with you, because this is when we have a new client or we're looking for a new client and where we want to get our clients to. We've identified you guys. We've been with you since 2016. You're an ideal client for us. We've implemented you. And now we're on this ever revolving circle here. Operational services, all of your daily activity, bringing it to your board for questions, clarification, your feedback and renewal. Not sure if you know about this feedback part, but we do send out a survey, and actually Sherry and I schedule a meeting every year instead of the survey. Usually happens around February, March, and really go in depth about how are things going? What's working? What's not working? How can we improve? So we do that once a year. Besides that, Sherry and I talk also. Anything she needs, she always sends me an email. Hey, Sherry, okay, we'll work on that. How can we help you? And we're in great communication there. So now we're on this continuum, and that's a great place to be because we do have your historical knowledge, your flow of your business, flow of your cycles, so we could continuously serve you to the best of our ability there. Another aspect of DMS is we're a smaller business. We have schools in California and one organization in Nevada of 7 schools, but our goal is slow growth. We're not in it as an employee-owned business to just take on as many clients as we can just to see where to go. We have a slow growth model, and we really tend to that because we want to make sure we have the staff and the ability to serve our clients to the best of our needs and your needs. So I wanted to share that little bit with you. I'm assuming that you have the contract that I sent in to Sherry. I'm not going to review the numbers. I'm happy to if you'd like to. The total is $157,800 per year. It is a 6.9% increase from the current contract, which has been the same since 1921. Or 2021. Actually, excuse me, 2019. Yes, 2019 contract. It has not had an increase. It is about 2.4% of your overall revenue. And usually the advocacy groups suggest that fees fall into 2-5% of your revenue fees. It is all inclusive. Like I said, we're all in-house for all services. You will not get a different payroll bill or different federal express bill or anything like that. It's all inclusive. Let's see. It's probably the highlights of the contract. There's a lot there if you happen to go through it, if you want to ask any questions. And that's about it. Any questions or anything I can clarify?
Any questions, Jason? Stacy?
No.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Joanne.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And of course, reach out if you have any questions.
We will.
All right. Should
we go back to
board members?
You're board members.
Let's go ahead.
You have.
Well, I don't know what you're going to say.
You want to know what I'm going to say?
Yes.
You go first. All right. I'll go first. So, since my written report, we have had the athletic director from Fort Sage approach us about having two high school students participate in a basketball tournament. And I got a letter this morning from her that was addressed to the board. Of course, that was not in your board packet because we didn't have that. It's pretty short, and if it's okay, I'd like to...
I printed it out and totally forgot it.
Okay,
yeah.
Can I read it?
Yeah, please.
Wow, mouse kitten. Hello, my name is Nikki Johnson. I am the athletic director and coach at the Herlong High School. I know that Doyle Charter has very different rules than Herlong. I have had some Doyle students that play on our team, and sometimes games and schedules change. We have a 3-day, 2-night trip planned that kind of happened to play most of our away games at once. Elk Creek is a 5.5-hour drive, so we would be staying for that anyways. And Paradise Advertise, is that, I have Paradise Adventist. Adventist, thank you. Was on the schedule, but to save time and gas, we decided to stay. And now the schedule changed again. And so we have Princeton on 118. In this next year, I can plan as I will be going to the meetings and scheduling. I will also be able to coordinate with Misty better with everything going on. I was unaware of the scheduling this year since I was thrown into AD again. I am asking you to approve this trip for the DJ and Bert, as this is Bert's year.
Senior year.
That is what I would guess. Mm-hmm. We can also have a meeting on how the process needs to be for next year so I can prepare for it. So I am sharing that letter that came in. We have a pretty strict field trip policy that was developed with our Charter Safe, the place we got our liability insurance through. And we need like a month notice. And we do it sometimes with less. That's not an issue. Earlier in this year, Nikki came to us with a last minute deal. You all approved it in arrears, but I went out on a limb and said, okay, but every overnight is supposed to be approved by the board. So I apologize for that. With the statement that I would do that one time because it was so, you know, obviously these are all really important to our students, but it was very made clear at that time that we have this policy and we need a little more notice. So I am sharing that with you. At this point, I don't know what you want to do as a board. If you want us to schedule a special meeting before Tuesday, because I think it starts on Tuesday. I'm sure Misty and I could work with that athletic director to try to get all the detail, but like we need a plan. Who's sleeping with whom? Who's driving? Who are the chaperones? Have they been cleared? Like there's a lot of questions we dig into because there's a lot of liability involved in an overnight trip.
When was she aware of all of, when did they make this decision to leave for 3 days? Did she let you know this right away? Did she have this information and not?
So I can't speak to that. Do you have any idea when this heard about it? Mm-hmm. I learned about it on Tuesday of this week.
And when is this trip planned? What you said?
It starts next Tuesday. Yes. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So
it's a last minute tournament that was put together.
Okay, so it was a last minute deal. It's not something she knew and just shared at the last minute. I don't like last minute invitations, but if it was a last minute deal.
It, like in her letter, sounds like there was a lot of games being shuffled and they decided just to put it all together. Yeah. However, we do have a very strict policy. And Sherry said it was a one-off. But it's up to the board if they want to schedule. I don't know if we do like a virtual on a Friday night.
We could.
I don't know, how much is it, 24 hour special meeting or 48? I can't remember.
24.
Yeah.
So we, unless we started at 6:24 at this point now.
Right.
Or we could do have a call Saturday morning.
And you could even ask her to come and present those questions that you have.
Mm-hmm. That would be nice if she showed up. You know,
but you're going to need at least three of us to show up.
Right.
Right. We need at least three of you to participate in that. And I think we need all of tomorrow for Misty and I to drill down to get all that information and fill out our documentation.
So I would ask you what your recommendations. I'm going to put you on the hot seat.
Okay. Well, all these people know me pretty well. And my thing would be, I already had the situation last minute. Mm-hmm. But it's Bert's senior year.
It's tough.
It's really tough. So I think if the board's willing to have a special meeting, Monday is a holiday, which I don't mind joining together, but if we could find a time to join together, I could bring that information back to you and get your approval on it.
That would work.
I would only agree if she comes and presents.
That was going to be my stipulation as well. It'd be nice if she was here.
I'm good with that.
Can I ask a question just because up here and not down there? Is this common that we let our kids play sports? Do we have a relationship where we let them play sports with Fort Sage?
We do. And let me tell you, for as long as I've been here, we've not been able to pull that off. It's only been in the last 2 years, I think, that they finally allowed us to. We joined,
been too many years for me.
No, well, not too many years for Katie. No.
CIF?
CIF. So we got to join CIF, and only the kids here can participate because they're part of the school district region.
Okay.
So, and like I said, there's two students apparently that this has affected. You know, during football, we had three or four kids. So that's what we're talking about.
Okay.
Well, I think we need to have a meeting with her, and I agree she needs to show up, but then we do need to, before like next football season or next basketball season or anything, we need to have a meeting with them and let them know what our policy is to, you know, very much abide by our board policy because it's for the safety of our students.
Which I did. I forwarded her the policies
that
Sherry gave me.
Okay.
That's good.
And Misty has, because we had a situation previously during football.
Yeah. But if we go ahead and have a meeting and approve this, we're violating our own policy.
Well, I think I would not say that it's all that problematic. It's being approved by the board.
Okay.
It's just making us scramble, and we couldn't get it on this agenda.
No, we can't. So it'd be a Friday or a Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sports are very important. We need both schools to even put together a team.
I know.
So this is not an agenda item, so I'm going to leave it up to Sherry. She's going to call the board meeting.
Okay.
Your discretion.
All right.
Would everybody, or Sherry, are you good with it, with being responsible for approving this or on your own? I mean,
no. Especially that far, that long, two nights. They're not doing separate hotel rooms. Like, there's some things I need to understand and know and be able to share with you. So, So as long as we can have three people here to do that. So I'll send everyone an email tomorrow morning with a couple of suggestions and see what, if we can get three people to participate.
Okay.
I did it once and I don't really want to do it again.
I'll make an effort to be available if need be.
Okay. That was my report.
And this is for Monday, right? but
it's up to Sherry.
I'm going to send you a note tomorrow to see what we can put together.
Okay, back to our agenda.
So is that what you had too?
Yeah. Oh, not so NASPR and
yeah, no kidding.
And I'm hoping that we could skip Janice for a moment because we have some TPC students who are waiting.
We have a 6:25 presentation.
She's my favorite person.
I know, so we can have her talk to us longer that way.
Okay, reports are done. We're on item 8D.
Hello, everyone. I'm Angie Kingsley. So I am at the Thompson Peak Charter School. I teach K through 8th, and I have two amazing students that did two missions, and they are here. It's Joseph Roland and Jacob Roland, and they are going to do their presentation for their missions today. Okay, go ahead. Can you guys see the mission?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. That's awesome. Now you see a person, you appreciate how large it is.
Let's see.
All right. Hi, my name is Joseph Roland, and I'm going to tell you about Old Mission Santa Barbara. Old Mission Santa Barbara is a community of many parts but one spirit. The mission has served as a gathering place and spiritual home for many since its establishment in 1786. Often referred to as the Queen of Missions, it was founded by Padre Freeman Lashore for the Franciscan Order on December 4, 1786, the feast day of St. Barbara. It is the 10th mission of what would later become 21 missions in Atel, California. It's famous for its twin towers on its church, on the top of its church. Mission Santa Barbara was part of a border plan by the Kingdom of Spain to protect its claim on Atel, California from Russia and Great Britain. The mission was expected to turn local indigenous people into upstanding Spanish citizens through conversion to Catholicism and by making them productive members of the Spanish colonial economy. Missions in that region were occupied by the local Chumash tribe. Chumash workers had to take care of the herd and serve the church's other needs. Epidemics of European disease, which the Chumash people had no immunity to, the Chumash often had little to no choice but to join the mission. Indigenous people in the mission system were controlled by padres. Also, the Chumash people that were baptized were not allowed to leave without permission. Also, did you know that Juna Maria, aka the Lost Woman of St. Nicholas Island, and Karana from the Island of the Blue Dolphins, after going to the mainland, she lived at Mission Santa Barbara for just 7 weeks, where she had died due to the illness.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Okay, so the next one would be Jacob Roland.
Goodness, there's another mansion.
Wow.
Hi, my name is Jacob, and the mission I'm going to be telling you about is Mission Santa Clara. During the Spanish colonization in 1769, dramatic changes over the course of several generations happened to the Native Americans. The Ohlone society world and way of living shifted from their traditional way of hunting, gathering, and their native worldview. To become Catholic Christian converts and citizens of the Spanish Empire, Franciscan conversion practices began largely through attraction rather than conquest, starting with tragic trade, and outright gifts. Yet once individuals joined the mission, they were not allowed to leave. Sadly, historical accounts revealed harsh punishments like withholding food, corporal punishment, and imprisonment for wayward converts. Due to increasing scarcity of native game and food because of the herds of cattle, horses, sheep, pigs, and goats brought over by the Spanish. Due to the overgrazing of the native grasses and the growing displacement of the native game, this gave the emissions a monopoly over the local food supply. Eventually, new trade skills of ranching, farming, tanning, adobe brick, and tile making came to be seen as necessary skills for survival. California missions began in the late 18th century as an effort to convert the Native Americans to Catholicism and to expand European territory. There were 21 missions in all, lasting from 1769 until about 1833. The mission system brought many new cultural and religious ideas to California, though many people believe it was a way to oppress the Native Americans into slavery. Mission Santa Clara sits at the heart of Santa Clara University campus. It was first established by Franciscan Order in 1777 as a part of the chain of 21 Alta California missions. Mission Santa Clara Diocese is the eighth mission in the chain of 21 Franciscan missions established by Padre Junipero Sierra. It was first founded in January 12, 1777. On the banks of Guadalupe River and the first to bear the name of a woman, St. Clare of Assisi, an early companion of St. Francis. With little to no funding to maintain the mission, a single priest, Bishop Joseph Alemany, approached the Jesuit priest, Father John Novi, S.J., to turn the mission and its surrounding lands into a college. On March 19, 1851, Mission Santa Clara became the first college of higher learning in the new state of California. Mission Santa Clara Diocese sits on only one of 21 missions that was handed over to the Society of Jesus in 1851. They began rebuilding.
It's okay.
Campaign to repair and improve the existing structures like the single bell tower to its original 1825 design. This is the building you see today. The building was built of steel reinforced concrete rather than adobe bricks, making it more resistant to fires and earthquakes. Mission Santa Clara's image has become an icon for the local county, city, and the university bearing its name. Today, Mission Santa Clara remains the central hub of the campus, religious and spiritual life.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you for sharing that with us. That was wonderful.
Thank you.
Still doing good reports. Mm-hmm.
Nelson Peak, knocking it up.
Yep.
Okay, Janice.
Nice job. Now that there's a painting behind her before.
I've been waiting all day for this.
You've been waiting all day for this? Okay. So here I have some an overview of charter community schools. But I don't have another one for L.
Good, sorry.
Right. But this just gives you an overview of community schools. I'm Janice Gocher. I'm the community outreach coordinator for Long Valley to create a community school. And what a community school is my best way to explain it is Little House on the Prairie. And back in the days of old, the church, the government, and the school were all in one building. The whole community was there. They were always involved. They were all about everyone and their care and upkeep and education and everything. And so that is kind of the basis for community school. And we want to bring that back today. And so it's about creating partnerships within our county and hopefully outside of our county to bring something better in for our kids. Community school is about helping the child, the family, the community we're going to serve the whole child is the best way to say it. So if the family is having problems at home, we're going to see what we can do to help. Obviously we can't help every problem that happens, but if we can help because they're hungry, if we can help because they can't get transportation somewhere, if they need food stamps, if they need things like that, if they need mental health, we want to create a food pantry send kids home with food in a backpack, things like that. We can do that. And it doesn't take away from the existing staff. The teachers get to teach, the staff get to do what they do, and the community school program creates all of this and is able to help that to better serve the child. And at the end of the day, we hope that the child comes to school with less stress, is able to learn and get a good education and graduate and be successful. That's the, so when the child comes from a broken home, hungry, domestic violence, drugs, whatever, they're coming with a lot of stress, a lot of baggage. And they're not thinking about the math problem the teacher's teaching currently. They're thinking of who knows what. And so we want to help them at home as well as in school so that they do graduate and become a viable citizen, you know, that brings something back to the community. Any questions?
How would they know they have access?
That's my job, is to get it out there. So we have hired, as you know, the Thrive, consulting firm, Thrive, and they're made up of educators, and they're wonderful ladies, and they will be coming here on the 25th and 26th of January. And so we are having a meeting with the staff, with the teachers specifically, because if the staff, the teachers don't embrace community school, it's not going to be successful. So we need this to be a family program that everybody is involved, everybody likes it, and they understand it, and we can move forward with it. So they're going to come help us educate the teachers on what it means and how we're going to put this together. My job is to create this program, and I have learned, it's an awesome program. I have learned so much, and I thank Los Angeles County Office of Education for their community toolkit, because it just really puts it all in a box for you, and you just read it, and you're like, okay, I get it, and now I know where to go. And so it's wonderful. So if you really want to get a good in-depth understanding, go to the Los Angeles County Office of Education website, and they have a toolkit there for community school, and it's worth reading.
Is this it the really model is. That's successful?
Yes, it's very successful. So I believe they've been doing since 2019. Uh-huh. But Oakland Unified has been doing it, I think, longer. Several schools have been doing it for quite a few years, and California is pushing this initiative to get more schools to embrace this, because families are just needing more help. You know, kids are needing more help. It takes a village, right? So that's what the idea is to take the village and build them up. So,
Janice, is this just for Long Valley, or are you incorporating Thompson Peak into it also?
It is only for Doyle.
Okay.
Not even the Portola part of Long Valley. It is. Only the state put out that they want this. They're only doing it for classroom-based programs. Now, can we grab Janice and have her help us? Absolutely, because the partnership she's going to make can be something we can all draw from. But, you know, I just want to remind everyone, we went for a grant, $200,000 over a purpose of, for 2 years, to plan and develop a program. And then there's some additional monies we can apply for the actual implementation of it. So Janice has come in and really taken it on. I really commend you for what you've done, because there is a lot to learn.
Yes.
I like still more have, to learn. Yeah, there's so much to learn there.
I've never done so much research in my life.
She did a coffee bar for the teachers, because it's not just the students and families, it's our staff too. Like, what support do they need to feel part of the community? And
so we're sort of like, so we're going to become like the family resource center of the school that embraces the staff, the children, their families, and the community, because they are all our community. So we're putting it all together under this roof, and we're going to try to do our best. There have been some really good models. I mean, if you research it online, it's crazy. I thought, okay, let me Google this. And it was like, boom, 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 boom. It's everywhere. So there's a lot to read. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn.
But we can do a lot of family events under this.
Mm-hmm. No. You know, and there's education. Mm-hmm. Yeah, educating the community, educating the parents. One of the really nice parts I think is about is getting the parents into the school. So having them be the volunteers that come in and help community school. So they can help with the after school program. They can help in other areas where it frees up staff to do other things that a parent can be there to help and do. You know, how does that look? We don't know yet. We really have to see how that fits in with how everything goes here. But it's done a lot. There's one program I was looking at in Chicago, and they have this great, huge place. I mean, you know, they all have huge, everybody has huge besides us. So they just have this, huge place where parents come in, they greet the other parents, they help the kids in the morning, they help them in the after school program, they're in the classrooms helping the teachers, in the lunchroom, they're everywhere, you know. And of course, this is a huge school with a, and every demographic is different. So we're going to get different kinds of families, different kinds of likes and dislikes. So we just have to see which little hole we fit in and how we're going to.
And that's part of pulling together staff and parents, right, and even students, right, to see what it is.
So we have our staff meeting on the 25th in the morning, first thing. And then at 9 a.m. we have the steering committee. So I have two parents, two children, and Jason. I've talked to you about this already, for the connection to the county. So we need a little like this every now and then so that we have those connections. And then at 1 o'clock, we want to have a parent meeting. So we want to invite all the parents in. So the ladies from Thrive just sent me some samples of how we put that announcement out there so that we say it right. We want to say it correctly so that it's understood. And so Sherry's going to go over those and then let me know. And then we'll put it all out there to the community, and it'll be, the doors will be open, and we'll see who comes to learn more about it.
So the state is implementing this.
The state is pushing it
big time. Pushing this on us big time. So that means this won't be one-time money. This will be more money to come to keep pushing this program.
Well, you know, the state is having some shortfalls right now with their budget. So who can say? Right now we have our planning and implementation, and, you know, then it'll come down to what is the commitment of the school to continue it. But so even if we don't get
at the moment,
right.
Yeah. And there's another RFP about to go out again, mm-hmm, for it again. And I just saw a webinar today. So it's just a really big thing that's growing. Ironically, it's not growing in Lassen County. So, because I went and looked up all the people that have applied and gotten and are looking into it. And it's astonishing that it's really not growing in Lassen County.
That's because
so
our charter is outstanding.
Right. Yes, it is. Well, all my children wait here, so I'm a fan.
So we want to help families in need. Are we going to get like a 20-foot overseas container to put jackets in? Or, I mean, where are we planning on storing stuff that the kids need?
That's why I'm here. I have 2 years to figure something out.
All right. Well, I'm just thinking ahead of time, but right, for now, they're throwing money at
it. I mean, as the ideas that have been tossing around, because I talk with everybody that listens to me, that wants to hear about it, who has time to listen to me. I kind of chase people down the hallway sometimes, but the gym, when that comes to fruition, that building will be a huge help to many aspects, but hopefully it'll free up a little bit of space because the community school, in a sense, will be a place where parents can come and relax, ask questions.
I want there to be see whatever furniture. Yes. And we have to come in and have coffee.
That's a coffee bar.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and a safe place for the kids to go, you know, if they are having a bad day and a stress and they just need a minute to decompress, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Then they can just come in there and decompress, and we don't have to take teachers from what they're doing to do that. You know what I mean? Let the teacher to do what they do so great.
That,
you know what
I mean? Wonderful.
And so it's a great picture. It's a great, everything is great. And now we just need to make it great. So, and you know, the people around here don't like to come out of their doors. They really don't. They're homebodies. I have done so many things, mm-hmm, to get people out, and they just are not fans of it. So it's getting them to be comfortable, to feel welcome, to say, okay, I'm just going to go there. To have welfare Lassen Works come here to do their welfare paperwork instead of having to go all the way to Susanville, order her along. When you don't have a car, she's not doing it anymore. But Patty, okay, if you don't have a car, her along is not going to Susanville because you don't have a car. So if we have them come here, they can get here easier. You know, we're in here. They come to her along to my center once a month as well. So they come here once a month, you know, talk to public health and see what services they can bring us, you know, maybe get immunizations done here instead of everybody running to the doctor and everywhere. And I think there's these other schools have made amazing partnerships with their counties, and I don't see why we can't do the same.
I think we really need to boost the profile on this whole program.
Once we get some
figure out what the program is, but in order to
get under our feet,
to take advantage of it for especially kids that really need it, they need to know a Chauncet. How are they going to know that we have what's going on?
Well, I think the public relations is definitely part of
huge part of boosting the profile.
Right. And the Thrive ladies are amazing, and they have taught me so much. I told her today, I says, you know, my issue, she says, well, how can I help you? What are you nervous about? And I said, well, I'm not an educator. I've never been an educator, and I'm going to go tell these teachers something. You know, I'm a little nervous about that because they're going to be like, who are you talking to? So how do I tell them this is a great idea and let's do this? So they're going to help me do that. So
your enthusiasm for it.
It's a great, I've learned so much. I'm like,
do you remember in the very beginning, you're like, what is it? And it's like, read this.
She sent me a ton of stuff to read. I was like, Okay.
And it's really Google, hard because it's different Google, for every location.
So when you Google, it's insane. It's like they're everywhere. So it's pretty cool. And to me, and the very first thing I said to her was like, so what are you trying to create a family resource center within the school? Because that I can do, you know? So
yeah,
it's kind of that, a little bit more flow.
I think this could be huge.
Right?
I think it could be huge.
I think so. We could be the poster child.
That's the vision,
right?
I would love to see that. They need to learn how to act with their team.
You tell them that.
We'll leave bikes there.
Okay.
So is this going to be an action item or this?
No, this was information. You already approved the grant writing, hiring somebody for that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
This is just to let you know. So the second page is the four pillars that community school goes by. It's sort of a standard of operation. It's really good. And again, everything is how it fits into our four walls.
You know? I have a lot of questions, but you have a delivery at noon tomorrow, right?
Yes, I do.
I'll ask them.
Okay.
Thank you, Janice.
Make it a point.
Thank you.
Okay, Whitney, you're up.
Okay. Let me share my screen really quick. Find which one. Start with the dashboard. So I have a few reports for you. So CDE has relaunched the California dashboard, which is a measuring system. On how we measure student progress and all kinds of aspects.
Are you putting it up?
Yep, it's just slowly clicking. we'll wait till that pops up. So the last few years, the dashboard has not been in place because of COVID, and you know, a bunch of their, or one of their main, you know, data points is testing, and we have done it, but not everybody has. So this is a relaunch. So they used to have these color indicators, the different colors, and you wanted to be in the blue, you did not want to be in the red. They are not measuring that way for this year. With the relaunch, they are looking at this kind of bar graph. They call it like a cell phone, you know, little diagram. And we're looking at very low to very high in the measures of.
Will they go back to the other gauge once they have comparatives?
I believe so. Okay. So it's for this school year, or for the 2022 dashboard, it will be the kind of cell phone bar graph. And then I do believe they are going back to the color indicators. So, the things that the state looks at for their measures are chronic absenteeism, kindergarten through eighth, suspension rate, which is K-12, English learner progress, graduation rate, college and career indicators. However, that will not be reported this year. They're still working out those, how they're going to measure that. And then academics, which looks at like their state testing scores, which is third through eighth, and then those 11th graders for ELA and math. So I'm going to stop sharing this screen really quick, and I will pull up each school's dashboard so you can see where we're at with each. Okay, so I'll wait till it pops up. All right, so Long Valley's dashboard. So you can search by school. You can look at any school in the state of California. So if you wanted to see, you know, the schools in our area to compare, you have that ability. So the bar graphs for the chronic absenteeism are kind of backwards. So generally we want, when it's the lower range, that's a good, but this one, it's a flipped, just with how they measure it. And so for Long Valley, we have a high chronic absenteeism. And so with our new, you know, kind of attendance meetings, we have a policy and process in place to really target those families and students that have those chronic absentee.
And this is a year in arrears that you're looking at.
Right.
And so we still had a lot of students out with COVID and. And I'll just say chronic absenteeism is defined as being absent 10% or more of the school year.
How many days of school year? 108.
175.
To 17 days.
Yep.
Or more.
Right. And there's too many kids that hit that last year.
And so within each subcategory, you can click into it and it'll give you more information. So for us, we are at 21.8% chronically absent. And then you can click into it for more details to compare to the state average.
Now, is that counting when you take a week off and take the schoolwork with you? That doesn't count as absent.
That's not absent.
Right. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. So each little subgroup, you can get some more information. Back to our dash.
Think about it. There were kids who were out. If you end up with COVID or family has COVID, you know, they're out for a week and a half, 2 weeks. And a lot of our families here in Doyle refused to do the independent study, which we offered to them during that time. So that's why I think it really skyrocketed that year.
Right. We have a very low suspension rate, which is excellent. English learner progress is not reported because we have so few students that meet that category. I think it's less than 10 students, they don't even report it. So some of these categories won't show because of our low student population. Graduation rate, you have to click into get some more information. So, and then like I said, college and career will not be reported this year. These areas that say standard met are just, you know, some in-house surveys and things that Sherry reports. So as long as we get,
and I report all those to you in June,
right?
I'm sure you
do. Yeah, so those are all met.
But our math scores and ELA are low. Mm-hmm. The schools that got pulled for special treatment because of poor performance had to get two very lows on here, very lows, and we didn't have very lows, so. Yippee, still not exciting to see that we're low, but
right.
And then you have that high of chronic absenteeism. A lot of kids are not here.
Right. It's easy to see. And then there's some school details, and then you can scroll down and there's student population information. And then academic performance. These are our state level or statewide testing scores, and then the local indicators. Of academic engagement are those absenteeism and graduation rate. And then there is a spot in here somewhere that is supposed to show our other data. I can't see it on my screen right now. So I'll flip over to Thompson Peak really fast. That's so good. It did change. So we're very similar in some aspects, except with the chronic absenteeism at Thompson Peak. We do not fall in that high category because their attendance is based on workload. So it's not, you know, whether or not they're in the seat, where with our classroom kids that just drags us down. So again, this ELA and math scores are very similar to what Long Valley's is. And this is something that we will be looking at in great detail, you know, for our renewal and just tracking progress. So are there any questions on the dashboard?
Not so much the dashboard, but like COVID got us so far behind in the kids' educational experience. Are we guessing 2 or 3 years to almost try to catch up, or
what? I'd say on average it's a year and a half. I want to say that community school is supposed to help those numbers go up.
Oh,
that's okay. Part of the integration of community school, giving the support there.
Is that so part of the funding is to try to get us all back up to par? Do you think?
Well, community school in general is to get the kids a better edge to be more aware and come to school, want to learn, get an education, be more successful. You know, so they keep all the baggage at home and come to school, go learn.
You are ready?
I do. I'm pulling it up right now. It's just thinking. My computer is slow today.
You know, I've been waiting for this.
I know. So
that's what I'm scared of seeing.
So,
all right.
We still have a ways to go, but we did see some growth. So, what we are looking at are, so this is Long Valley's in the very top box, our reading scores. iReady now has a comparative report. So, the lower, kind of smaller line is where we were at in our first diagnostic. And then this top bar in the with the slightly larger numbers is the winter diagnostic.
And that was August or September, I can't remember.
Kind of span.
Yeah, end of August to the window ended September 2nd.
So our green stripe. No, you're good.
Yeah. So our mid or above grade level went from 10% up to 13%. The early on grade level was from 11 to 17%. The one grade level below increased up to 34%, but we can see the red decreased a little bit. So some of those kids slid into from going 2 to 3 grade levels below or more up to just one grade level.
That's good.
We're 17% on grade level.
Yeah.
Is that what that
says? We are 30% on grade level.
Oh, that's
17. So, yeah, 17 early on or mid or above.
Gotcha. Compared to 21.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So we are making progress in that. And then the student assessed number, you'll notice it looks like we didn't assess some of the kids. This report lumps all of our kindergarten students into it. We give them a separate assessment. So I just can't filter out those numbers with this report. But I like the side-by-side comparison. It's a nice visual.
Yeah.
So then.
And the next iReady will not be till next.
So we'll be spring, but we have, in the past, we have only done first, second, ninth, and 10th graders.
Wait, are you talking about iReady or are you talking about CAS?
iReady.
PS for iReady. Sorry. So, right.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to just making sure. So in the spring, we only require the iReady testing for the students not taking the statewide assessment because that's a lot of testing at once. Some teachers would like to or have requested to do the iReady diagnostic again, but we have to make sure that they've completed their CAS score.
So the reason why I asked is we're at 30. We have to have a goal of some sort, but then you have to measure it.
Right.
The same kind of way. Mm-hmm. And I know when you come back next fall, it's going to go back down.
Right.
So the question is, what is the goal and when?
That's what we're trying to figure out right now. Ideally, we would like to see each student, you know, making at least a semester's growth, if not more.
Well, I mean, 30%, if you want 35, what are you looking for next?
I don't know.
And I'm going to tell you why we don't know. One of the things we're trying to drill down in iReady, mm-hmm.
is how can we tell if a student grew a semester during that between August to December, right?
So you'd have to compare this to next January, right?
No, I don't want to compare it to that. I want to do more on this and dig in deeper to look at every student. You're looking at an overall score.
Absolutely.
I don't want to look at an overall score. I want to look at, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And I'm going to come back and tell you that this percentage of kids grew a semester or more during the semester.
Which will show up there.
Right. So that's what we're trying to look at right now.
Yeah.
Right.
We want to bring them scores up on a case by case.
Because I think you have to look at the individual.
Yeah.
Part of what is that we're looking at is we have 3 years till renewal. You're supposed to be sharing the last few years. So whatever they score this year, then we set the goals for where we need to grow to be able to renew our charters. Okay. So right now we're still in that, trying to figure out how we know that they've grown.
So a year from now, we want to see 40%.
No, that's what you say.
So no, does it not, can you not look at each individual student and see?
Can.
Oh, okay, can. Good. Okay.
I need an interpretation of if their score was this and now their score is that. Great, I can see there's an increase.
But how much?
Right. Because we have a lot of kids who are still one or two grade levels below. And guess what? I can't just have them grow a semester. I need them to grow 3/4 of a semester in a semester, right? And so this is the time all the teachers are digging in, looking at the individual scores. And if they didn't grow, they need to change what they're doing. The intervention needs to be different or higher.
Those are the questions I'm asking.
Yeah.
So is there a grade level? Do you know, Whitney, if grade level wise, there's kids that are growing more, are we doing a better job at certain grades than others?
I don't have a solid answer for you on that just yet. So each site leader is going to be meeting with each individual teacher in this weekend, next week, to look at every student. And then I will be looking at all of that data as well to see if there is a certain grade level or group that are growing more. Okay, what are we doing in that area? How can we replicate it across the board? iReady is great for a lot of things for our reports, but it doesn't give us some of that specific, okay, if a kid scored a 580 and now they're at a 600, what does that growth mean? You know, it's not a 500 is equivalent of a fourth or fifth grade level. So those are the types of analyses that we're having to do so we can show, are we growing, are we not? And then in math for Long Valley, there our red band shrunk. So that's a great indicator. The yellow one you'll see did increase the one grade level below, but those kids are shifting up from two or more grades up into the one grade level. So,
you have 15% greater.
Yes. And then Thompson Peter also had some growth in their reading and math. They went mid or above grade level wasn't a huge jump, but you know, there is some growth, and the giant red bar is shrinking, and that's what we want to see. When the red shrinks, that yellow band will increase, and then hopefully we can move, you know, from the yellow up to the green. But we're gonna start looking at more, you know, specifics, and some of the kids, especially these multiple grade level below, they may be making growth, but they're still so far behind that we're not seeing it in the major shift. But as long as they're making progress, you know, that's a way that we can show we are doing what we need to. So once we figure out how to show
that, we will data, have that more specific, how many kids grew a semester or more.
Yeah. Right. Because if you're 2 years behind and a year goes by and you kept up, you're still 2 years behind.
Right.
It's going to be tough on the teachers.
it's tough on all of us, but we have to do it. Our survival depends on it. And, you know, one of the things, the most basic intervention that all the teachers have been able to do is the students have daily iReady time in their areas of weakness. So it targets their specific skills on where to build. The struggle for any intervention with a lot of our programs are our high school students. iReady only has lessons K through eight. So our kids that are scoring multiple grade levels below will still get those skills, but then they're gonna hit a point where we have to find another program or other supports for them. And that has just been our biggest challenge. Our high school students don't have the simple.
But I'm gonna say for mathematics, what we did is took Miss Jennifer Kirby up in Thompson Peak. She has been getting all special training. She's been working on developing courses, because what we need at a minimum is for our 11th graders, when they take that CASP test, to have Algebra 1 solid under their belt. That's still below grade level, but we need to at least, that's where we're trying to get them right now. Sure. So she's been working backwards and developing courses so that by the time they're in 11th grade, they're in the second part of a 2-year spread out math class to take it slower, because we have a lot of kids struggling.
Any other questions on dashboard or iReady?
All right, moving on. Mm-hmm. We're gonna ask for these action items.
Let's get it.
I have a quick question though. Can I ask a question? When are we gonna, are you deciding on EdTech or DMS, or are we gonna, is that like another board agenda item coming up?
That will be next month. We'll put that on the agenda to make a decision.
So we can discuss it?
Absolutely, that's when it'll be. Okay.
Thank you.
If you have questions in the interim, I would love to get them, and then I could collect that those answers for you also.
I will do that for you.
Thank you.
I got one. Is it a bid thing every year that we have as far as DMS or EdTech for renewal? I mean, is it a competition thing or?
No.
Okay.
No.
There's a term for that, chemical.
We've been with DMS since 2016.
Right.
And we often, you know, renew for 2 years at a time.
Okay.
And that's coming up.
Gotcha.
And I want to bring forward another company so that you can make some comparisons.
Gotcha. Okay. I just wanted to.
Yeah.
Okay. We're on 9A, discussion of possible action regarding approval of updated, how do you say that?
ESSER.
Three plan. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
Jason, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any discussion? Okay. Roll call. Sean. Aye. Wilma Abson. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Randy.
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion possible action regarding approval of school accountability report card for Long Valley and Thompson Peak. Do I have a motion?
I have a motion.
Jason first, Stacy second. Any discussion?
A little clarity on that.
Yep. So
school accountability.
Never mind.
I read it in 2-2-4.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
All right. Roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma is absent. Stacy.
Aye.
Jason.
Aye.
Randy.
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion possible action regarding acceptance of the 21-22 audit. Do I have a motion?
Motion. I motion.
Jason's first. Stacy second. Any discussion? Okay, so we'll vote by roll. Sean, aye. Wilma, absent. Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Motion passes. Discussion possible action regarding approval of updated fiscal policy 2001. Do I have a motion?
Why is it called 2001?
That's just the policy number. Everything's got a number.
Okay.
Sorry.
I,
2 years late.
I'm like, why are we... Yeah, okay. Thank you.
A motion.
Jason has a first, so I have a second.
I'll second.
All right, any discussion? All right, vote by roll. Sean, aye. Wilma, absent. Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Jim passes. Discussion possible action regarding resolution 2022-23-02 designating committed fund balances. Do I have a motion?
Motion.
This is the first. Do I have a second?
Yeah. Second.
Any discussion? Do we have to read that as a resolution or we did?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Roll call. Sean, aye. Wilma, absent. Stacy?
Aye.
Jason?
All right.
And Randy?
Aye. Can I need to sign that?
Yep.
Okay. And give it to Stephanie?
Yeah, so she can scan it to me. That'd be great.
Okay.
Motion passes. Discussion and possible action regarding approval of funding determination forms for both sites. Do I have a motion to approve?
Motion.
Do I have a second? I'll second. Any discussion? None. All right. We'll go ahead and vote by roll. Sean, aye. Wilma, absent. Stacy?
Aye.
Ethan?
NASCAR.
Aye. Randy?
Aye.
Motion passes. Future items, policy on student medical administration. Are there any other items?
I am going to put more deeper I-ready scores on there.
Okay. Any other requests?
One quick one. A lot of the parents, I should have brought it up earlier. They're wondering when we are going to start doing recitals and stuff like that together with the kids performing. I guess it's
so I'm going to say that's really a Misty question.
Ah, okay.
Okay.
Okay, I think they've seen online all the Christmas stuff at other schools, and they're like, why don't we do that anymore? So that's what I heard on the street.
Yeah. Okay. Do you mind talking to Misty directly?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Do you require a motion for adjournment?
No.
All right, we're adjourned 7:16.
We put you in the chair and we have the longest meeting yet. With I, you know,
bye, Paul.
Bye, have a good night.
You guys have delivery by noon.
7:30.